just one answer. Can I trust you with my heart? Can I trust you with my
Country 1430 AM stereo. WRDN. Durand, Downsville, Pepin. And 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
Coming up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw.
Well, it doesn't look like much, does it? It's just a field. Nothing much goes on here. We're just beyond the edge of town. That road you see back there is the A421. It crosses south central England east-west. If you were driving from Cambridge to Oxford, you'd drive on the A421. But while history keeps many secrets, she cannot keep them all. It was here in Elstow, apparently on this very spot, that one of history's most read authors was born. The book he wrote 350 years ago has never been out of print. It sold more than 250 million copies. That's more than any other novel in the English language by far. John Bunyan was born here in 1628. During his almost 60 years on this earth, he preached, spent a fifth of his life in prison, and wrote the literary and spiritual masterpiece, The Pilgrim's Progress.
Bunyan's day was a challenging time to be a believer in Jesus. That is, if you had deep spiritual convictions and you dared to live them. The English state was closely bound together with the English church. Although Catholicism had at times been the ruling church in England when Bunyan was born, the monarch, Charles I, was a Protestant. The Act of Uniformity made the Church of England the established church 70 years before Bunyan was born. Yet England was not a bastion of religious liberty. Remember, the Mayflower sailed from England only 8 years before Bunyan was born. You were free to be a Protestant as long as you were the right kind of Protestant. John Bunyan wasn't the right kind of Protestant. He started life as a bad kid, didn't do well in school, and wasn't only a troublemaker, but a ringleader. And he wasn't interested in Christianity. He joined the army at 16 and fought in England's Civil War. He was very nearly killed while in the military. He was selected to take part in a siege near Leicester when another soldier asked to take his place. That other soldier was shot and killed.
When he married, Bunyan and his wife moved here to St. Cuthbert's Street in nearby Bedford, which is about 50 miles from London. Today, Bedford is a market town with a population of about 175,000 people. Then, the population was closer to 2,000. The newlyweds lived in abject poverty, but something they did have was two spiritual books Mrs. Bunyan brought into the marriage. Those books, along with sermons he heard and an occasion on which a woman chastised him for his bad language, convinced Bunyan that he needed to change. And so he did, outwardly. There was a head change, but no heart change, and he knew it. But Martin Luther's commentary on the book of Galatians got through to the young man, and he was born again.
It wasn't long, and John Bunyan was preaching, often. But the problem was that Bunyan was a nonconformist, That is, he didn't attend a Church of England church. Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, and Quakers were considered nonconformists. But Bunyan didn't identify with any of these groups. He was a Puritan. Puritans were Protestants who believed the Church of England wasn't Protestant enough. They felt the Anglican Church was still too Catholic and should take the Protestant Reformation further. And that just wouldn't do. The idea that a tinker, a mender of pots and pans like his father, would preach, that was too much for the Church of England.
For a while, he preached in disguise, but then he gave that up and was arrested and cast into the Bedford jail, which stood right there on that spot. It was a loathsome thing. Two cells, dreadfully overcrowded, no running water, and open sewers. It was not nice. He was charged with having devilishly and perniciously abstained from coming to church to hear divine service, as well as holding several unlawful meetings and conventicles to the great disturbance and distraction of the good subjects of this kingdom. But he could easily have avoided prison. All he needed to do was assure the judge that he would go to church where and when he was told. He could then have stayed with his wife and children, earned a living and supported his family. But as much as he wanted to avoid that awful Bedford jail and remain with his loved ones, Bunyan gave the judge no such assurance. In fact, he told the judge that should he be released, he would go out and start preaching immediately. So on November 13, 1660, John Bunyan was imprisoned.
If after being released from prison he didn't attend a regular Anglican church, he'd be banished from the kingdom. If he didn't go, he'd hang. When Charles II was crowned king, many prisoners were pardoned. In fact, only the worst were not. Bunyan was not. He spent 12 years in the Bedford jail. He refused to even apply for a pardon because that would be to admit he had done something wrong. While he was in prison, he earned a little money making shoelaces, but his family was supported mainly by church members. He was so well liked by the jailers that there were times he was allowed out of prison, and he even managed to attend nonconformist meetings. He used his time in the jail as productively as he could. He wrote Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners while imprisoned, and he began work on The Pilgrim's Progress.
Bunyan was released after serving 12 years in prison, but it seems he did not go back to his old life as a tinker. Instead, he became a prolific author, penning in total around 60 works. He wrote a commentary on the Book of Revelation. His book, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, is still regarded as a classic today. It was published in 1666, the same year as the Great Fire of London. The Pilgrim's Progress was published in 1678, almost 100 years before the start of the American Revolutionary War. Bunyan also became a local church pastor. We'll visit the site of his church and the museum dedicated to the life and ministry of the Puritan preacher in just a moment.
The cross is a symbol for Christianity for millions of people around the world. But beyond the symbol, there is power in the cross, power God wants you to experience. Learn more by requesting today's free offer, The Power of the Cross. To receive The Power of the Cross, simply call 800-253-3000. You can also visit us online, write to the address on your screen, or text FREE CROSS to 71392. Request your free copy now.
Thanks for joining me on It Is Written. After being released from prison, John Bunyan went on to have a very successful ministry as an author and a preacher of the gospel. Today, Bedford remembers its illustrious son.
There's been a 9-foot-tall statue of Bunyan standing on St. Peter's Green for 150 years since it was donated by the Duke of Bedford. It depicts Bunyan preaching from an open Bible, a broken chain connected to his left foot, a reminder of his days in the Bedford jail. There are three scenes from Bunyan's famous book depicted on the base of the statue. Christian talking with Evangelist at the wicket gate, Christian laying down his burden, and his battle with Apollyon, the embodiment of evil. The unveiling of the statue was a big deal, with people coming from all across Britain to witness the event.
But the most significant memorial in Bedford to John Bunyan today is the John Bunyan Museum and the Bunyan Meeting Free Church, which stands on the site of a church that John Bunyan himself pastored many years ago. Visitors still stop by from all over the world.
The first thing you notice when you approach the building is the doors, given by the same man who funded the building of the Bunyan statue. The doors feature 10 scenes from the book. Christian and Hopeful crossing the river of death, Christian welcomed by Goodwill at the wicket gate, Christian passing lions on his way to the House Beautiful, meeting the Shining Ones at the cross, Christian leaving his family, and others besides. The church is beautiful and features stained glass windows depicting scenes from the book. Evangelist pointing the way, the battle with Apollyon, climbing the hill difficulty. A congregation still meets here each week. In the museum itself is the anvil Bunyan himself used in his work as a tinker, as well as his violin, a stone jug he used in prison, and a copy of his will. There's a recreation of the Bedford jail, although it's unlikely any exhibit could really capture the nastiness of what Bunyan experienced.
The jail, it stood just off Bedford High Street on the crossroads, and we believe it was a two-story affair with a half basement. Unfortunately, when it was knocked down in 1801, there are no known photographs. We have in the museum one of the jail doors, but nothing to actually depict its character at all. The times that Bunyan lived, there was no such thing as sanitation. Everywhere was filthy. There would have been a stench around the town which was most obnoxious. So on a hot August day, boy oh boy, it was very hard indeed.
Must have been horrifying for family members to come and bring food
Absolutely.
To or visit their
Absolutely.
Family and realise they were in that.
The pictures depicting Bunyan in jail are very romantic,
yes.
as you can imagine with Victorians, but it's very far from the truth.
If you read The Pilgrim's Progress, you realise right away that John Bunyan was an extraordinarily creative storyteller with a sharp imagination, a giant intellect, and an incredible grasp on scripture. The book itself is almost 110,000 words long. That's half as long again as Tom Sawyer or the autobiography of Ben Franklin. It's a substantial book.
It's an allegory, a story that can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning. As the Cambridge Dictionary says, a work in which the characters and events represent particular moral, religious, or political qualities or ideas. The book is written as the retelling of a dream in which we witness the journey of a man named Christian. A man named Evangelist encourages Christian to leave his home in the city of destruction and make his way to Mount Zion or the celestial city. His family refused to go with him. Christian says, "My wife was afraid of losing this world, and my children were given to foolish delights of youth. So what by one thing and what by another, they left me to wander in this manner alone."
So he leaves them behind and sets off on his own. Along the way, he encounters an array of fascinating individuals, adventures that sometimes imperil his life. He meets animals and demons and a whole lot more as he makes his way towards the celestial city.
Bunyan was a man who contended for his faith. His impact on society and on succeeding generations was immense. John Newton, the man who wrote Amazing Grace and campaigned for the abolition of slavery in Britain, encouraged William Wilberforce, the man who was really responsible for ending slavery, to read three books by Bunyan: The Jerusalem Sinner Saved, come and welcome to Jesus Christ, and grace abounding to the chief of sinners. Newton himself preached a series of sermons on the book, The Pilgrim's Progress. The Pilgrim's Progress has been translated into more than 200 languages. 3 years after it was first published in England, it was printed in New England in the United States. In 1847, a London missionary society sent 5,000 Tahitian Bibles to Tahiti, along with 4,000 Tahitian copies of The Pilgrim's Progress.
One of the great strengths of the book is its ability to cut to the heart, to present profound spiritual ideas in a simple and clear way. Let me share some quotes with you.
What God says is best, though all the men in the world are against it. It is my duty, said he, to distrust mine own ability, that I may have reliance on him that is stronger than all. There is in Jesus Christ more merit and righteousness than the whole world has need of. To know is a thing that pleaseth talkers and boasters, but to do is that which pleaseth God. Dark clouds bring waters, when the bright bring none. I think he wrote that from experience. And this, I would advise you then that you quickly get rid of your burden, for you'll never be settled in your mind till you do, nor can you enjoy the benefits of the blessings God has bestowed upon you till you do.
That thought, getting rid of your burden, it's a key theme in Bunyan's famous book. We'll explore it further in just a moment.
Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. He was born in the shadow of the Tower of London, and by the age of 11 he was working on sailing ships. In time he would become a slave trader. But when his life turned around, John Newton became a giant of the Christian faith. He was an influential pastor, a prolific hymn writer, and one of the architects of the abolition of slavery in the British Empire. The man who wrote Amazing Grace experienced God's grace in his life and left an indelible mark on the world. Don't miss Men of Faith, John Newton, Part 1. We'll visit London, England. We'll go to the town where his ministry began and visit the museum dedicated to his life and accomplishments. Once a hard-drinking, immoral man involved in witchcraft, John Newton's transformed life speaks of what God's grace can do in any human heart. Men of Faith, John Newton, Part 1. Brought to you by It Is Written TV. John Bunyan and his book, The Pilgrim's Progress, have touched the lives of millions. The John Bunyan Museum in Bedford gives visitors a small glimpse of the impact both have had on the world.
Well, there's been a museum on this site since 1946. It was originally in a room sort of over the other side of the church, and it was just lots of stuff packed into a very small space. And then in the 80s, 90s, the church did a big fundraising and bid and put together this fantastic museum where we are now.
Where do people come here from?
We have visitors from around the world. So we have a good sort of 5,000 visitors a year. A large proportion are from America, lots from Europe, New Zealand. We have a huge amount from Korea.
So, from Korea?
So lots of Koreans come. Some of the missionary groups come over to, he's very big in Korea.
So why is that? Why is Bunyan so big in Korea? And that leads me into another question. Why do people come here from the other side of the world? There's a connection. What is that?
It was the use of the Pilgrim's Progress by missionaries basically. So there was people trying to get and the Bible out into the world, and it was quite a complicated story. And I mean, Bunyan, his purpose when writing The Pilgrim's Progress was to explain and make the Bible more attainable, more understandable for just a common person. And so it was used as a stepping stone. So they would take The Pilgrim's Progress out. A lot of the countries, including China, it was also a safer book to get out. So the Bible was not something that was allowed to go out there, whereas actually The Pilgrim's Progress was a story. A nice story about living a good life and being a good person that obviously has that sort of back end of information that if you're in the know, you can understand a bit more. The missionaries at the time would translate The Pilgrim's Progress, take it out to the countries, and then you have this fantastic development of the editions of The Pilgrim's Progress, where the early editions are in the particular language, but with European illustrations. Then the illustrations are then changed to match the culture that the book is going into. The foreign language editions are fantastic and a reason why we have so many visitors from around the world.
John Bunyan wrote the story of a man named Christian who was told by evangelist that in order to get to the celestial city, he must pass through a gate called the Wicket Gate. Christian is determined to get through that gate. People think Christian has lost his mind, but he ignores the detractors and gives himself completely to getting through the gate and then on to the celestial city. You can already see how Bunyan is using his book as a teaching device to explain to people how to be saved. Give everything you have to reach the celestial city. Let nothing stop you. To get there, you go through a gate. Jesus referred to that narrow gate. And you must be aware that discouragement and guilt and despondency can drag you down and get you off the path to salvation. That's true, isn't it? The reason many people fall out of faith in Christ is simply due to discouragement, doubt, despondency, a sense of the weight of their sins.
It is no surprise that John Bunyan, a Protestant, took aim at the Roman Catholic Church in The Pilgrim's Progress. One of the characters in the story is Giant Pope. He's depicted as being senile and dwelling in a cave, crazy and stiff in his joints, the book says, too weak to do any real harm to the pilgrims. Bunyan felt that by the time he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, the Roman Catholic Church was a spent force. The early part of the book sees Christian trying to find a way to get rid of his burden. He was weighed down by his sin and wanted more than anything to get rid of that terrible weight. Well, that's people today, isn't it? Carrying around a load, a weight, a burden. Many don't realize that it's their sin that's weighing them down. Maybe guilt, a sense of worthlessness brought on by mistakes and shame and sin. But what did Christian experience? It was when Christian came to the cross that his burden just fell away. Angels tell him his sins are forgiven and he's given new clothing, and that's righteousness. If you're burdened today, get to the cross as quickly as you can. It was there that Jesus died for you. It was there that your burden was lifted. There's no need to be carrying a weight that Jesus died to bear. Will God forgive you? Yes. After all you've done? Yes. That's why Bunyan wrote the book, to show that you could be forgiven and take your place in the celestial city. Some years ago, I was talking to a group of people who worked in ministry, and I asked them a question. I said, the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, and yet Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, which is very Pilgrim's Progress. I asked them to explain that, to bring those verses together. No one was able to. But then from the back of the room, there came a voice which said, Daddy, I think I know. It was my son. He was 6 years old at the time. I'll be honest, I thought, oh no, here we go. but I didn't want to act like his thoughts weren't important, so I asked him to explain to us all what it was he meant. "Daddy," he said, "as you know, I've been listening to Pilgrim's Progress." I did know that. He had been. But I didn't know where this was going. No one did. He said, "In the story, Christian is told to go to the celestial city. Evangelist tells him first to go to the wicket gate." I asked him to proceed. He proceeded. He said, "Christian didn't know where to go. So Evangelist told him to keep his eyes on the light. If he did that, if he followed the light, he'd be okay." "Daddy," my boy said, "I think those verses are telling us to keep our eyes on the light." Well, there was nothing to say to that, was there? I think I said, "Amen." And I've never forgotten that lesson. I don't think any of us forgot the lesson we learned from a 6-year-old boy who'd been listening to Pilgrim's Progress.
John Bunyan was 59 when he died. He became ill while in London to preach, and he died there. He was buried in Bunhill Fields, a cemetery in London popular with nonconformists. Daniel Defoe, who wrote Robinson Crusoe, is buried there.
How's your pilgrimage going? Jesus died so that you could live with assurance. So that although you're a pilgrim, although the road is long and sometimes hazardous, you can lay your burden down at the cross and live with confidence that eternity is yours because of what Jesus has done for you.
The cross is a symbol for Christianity for millions of people around the world. But beyond the symbol, there is power in the cross, power God wants you to experience. Learn more by requesting today's free offer, The Power of the Cross. To receive The Power of the Cross, simply call 800-253-3000. You can also visit us online, write to the address on your screen, or text FREE CROSS to 71392. Request your free copy now.
Let me pray with you now. Our Father in heaven, I'm thankful that 350 or so years later, there is a book that still speaks to us of the love of God. That still speaks to us of your willingness to bear our sins, remove our guilt, and give to us a place in the celestial city. And I'm thankful for the Bible, which 2 millennia on tells the story of the cross, speaks to us of a God of love, that speaks to us of a Savior who died for our sins, that tells us that your heart is a forgiving heart, and that there is a place for us in the heart of God. My friend, as I'm praying, if you would ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior or recommit your life to Him now, would you do that? Can I pray for you to that end? Our Father, would you take that heart? Would you bless that life? Would you remove that burden? Would you take away that guilt? Would you give that person assurance that will last them beyond this life and into the life to come? We thank you because you are good. We are grateful that on our pilgrimage, we can look towards the heavens and know that there is a Savior who died to take away our burden. We accept that and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm looking forward to seeing you again next time. Until then, remember, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
You've been listening to It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw. We hope you have been blessed and that your faith in God has been renewed. Join us again next week at the same time on this station for It Is Written with John Bradshaw. This program was produced by It Is Written, all rights reserved. It Is Written is a faith-based ministry. Thank you for your letters and continued support. For more information, please visit our website, itiswritten.com.
Hello, It Is Written supporters and listeners. Pastor Ivan Remokal here of the Durand Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thank you for supporting our sponsored program, It Is Written by John Bradshaw, here at WRDN every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. If you have any questions or wanting to have Bible studies, you can contact me with my number 715-279-4213. Again, 715-279-4213. Also, you can come to our church at W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. Again, our address is W6733 Church School Lane, Durand. May God bless you all.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A chance of showers and thunderstorms today, especially in the afternoon. A mix of clouds and sunshine at highs in the upper 70s, or winds turning to the southwest. Tonight, more showers and storms. Lows will drop to the lower 60s. Do you need help with back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. Right now, it's 70.
It's Sunday morning on Real Country 1430 WRDN. We take you now to 1032 Prisel Street in Durand, Wisconsin for the Faith Lutheran Church morning services.
Good morning. Welcome to worship on this day that we are celebrating and highlighting our partnership with Community Unity VBS. I just heard from Diane that we have a record number of kids registered this week, 140 students, which is really exciting. So last year, I think we topped our highest number with like 121 kids. So I have to inventory my supplies. I might need to order some more. But this is fantastic. So we'll be celebrating that partnership today and reflecting a little bit on how it's grown over the years. Our radio sponsor today is Diane Knutson, sponsoring in honor of her wedding anniversary and in celebration of Riley Weber's 13th birthday, another teenager in the family. Thank you for your sponsorship. Just talked about VBS. It kicks off. Tomorrow is the setup day, and then on Tuesday we prepare to welcome the kids at 8:30 in the morning. So we look forward to that week. There is still time to register. If you still have a last-minute person who wants to be part of it, you can still do that online. This is some photos from our week at Luther Park, which was a couple weeks ago now, but since we had outdoor worship last week, I wasn't able to share those. But the group there in the middle was our whole group that attended from our congregations, and it was a great time making memories and growing in our faith together. I've heard there are plans already for some to go back together next year. So there's one more opportunity to go to camp this summer, and that's next Tuesday, July 16th. There's a day camp for kindergarten through third graders that I'll be attending with them. They get to go experience camp, but still sleep at home. So if you have anyone in that age group that's interested in attending, you can still register them for that as well. Are there any other announcements today? Okay, then I invite you to stand as you're able for our litany of thanksgiving. God, you have called and equipped us for ministry beyond these four walls. As we gather here to worship, we give thanks for our partners who share in the mission of spreading your good news. For the Northwest Synod of Wisconsin. Synod means walking together, which describes our interdependent ministry relationship. As we support mission partners and heed the call to be a church engaged in all the world, thanks be to God for our Synod partners. For Luther Park Bible Camp. Luther Park Bible Camp is a place where faith is nurtured through holy play as people of all ages explore and experience the life-changing love of God. Thanks be to God for our Bible Camp partner. For Community Unity Vacation Bible School. Community Unity VBS is an ecumenical collaboration that crosses denominational lines with the goal of providing a dynamic week of fun for children centered around our shared love of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for our community VBS partners. For YouthWorks, YouthWorks leads Christ-centered mission trips, which empower every teenager to know God and be like Jesus in the ways they love and serve others. Thanks be to God for our mission trip partner. God, we ask your blessing on each of these ministries as we partner with them this summer to reach a world in need. All thanks be to God for our ministry partners. Amen. We'll sing together our opening hymn, As the Grains of Wheat. This is in your blue hymnal, 705, and the words are on the screen. As the grains of wheat, once scattered on the hill, were gathered into one to become our bread, so may all your people from all the ends of earth be gathered into one in you. As this cup of blessing is shared within share the presence of your love. As the grains of wheat, once scattered on the hill, were gathered into one to become our bread, so may all your people from all the ends of earth be gathered. This be a foretaste of all that is to come when all creation shares this feast with you. As the grains of wheat once scattered on the hill were gathered into one to become our bread, so may all your people from all the ends of earth gathered into one in you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our God of varied ministries, when we, empowered by your Holy Spirit, collaborate with our ministry partners, good things happen in your name. Today we celebrate our partnership with the congregations who make up Community Unity VBS. Through this ministry, you help us share Christ's boundless love. So may our theme of diving into friendship with God come together in your name. Amen. The congregation may be seated, and I'll invite any kids to come forward for a children's message. Could use your help. We're going to play a little game here, okay? So, last week at Outdoor Worship, we warmed up with the game of Would You Rather. Hi, come on up. This is a game about the Bible characters that we're going to meet this week at Community VBS. So, on Tuesday, we're going to meet a man named Elijah. And if you were at VBS a couple years, I think it was maybe 2 years ago we met him, but this is a little different part of his story. Then on Wednesday, we're going to meet Jonah. And we'll talk about Jonah in a minute. On Thursday, we're going to meet all of Jesus' disciples who are going to be in a boat that day. And then on the last day, we're going to meet a woman named Lydia. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm going to have you go stand by the name of the person or people that you think this story is about. So who do you think got swallowed by a whale? What do you think? It's okay, and you can guess. And actually, I'm not going to tell you all the answers today. This is going to unfold. Okay, some people think it might be the disciples. Some people might think it might be Jonah. Okay, who do you think heard God's voice in a quiet whisper? In a quiet whisper. Who do you think that was? Oh, some thinks it's Lydia. Some people think it's Elijah. Who do you think was in a boat during a storm while Jesus was asleep in the boat? Who was in a boat with Jesus? You think it was Jesus' disciples? Okay. You think it's Jonah? Okay. That was a little bit of a trick question. If you take the Jesus part out, there's several of these people that were in boats, actually. So you did good. Okay, who do you think had the job of making purple cloth, really pretty purple cloth, and then also used to pray and have Bible studies with people? Scripture studies, I should say, back in that time. Some think it's Lydia. You think it could be Jonah? These are all great guesses, and what I love is that none of us got all the answers right, and that means that we have plenty to learn this week at Community Vacation Bible School, right? It's going to be fantastic. I think, as I'm looking, that you're all being part of it, either as helpers or as students. It's going to be great because we get to learn during the week about diving into friendship with God. Scuba is our theme, diving into friendship with God. And we get to meet all of these different people who were friends with God. And God did certain things through them, taught them certain things, asked them to do certain things, taught them to trust in Jesus and God. And so it'll be really exciting. I get to lead the Bible study this week. So as you come around to the different stations, I'll be there to tell you more about these characters from the Bible as we learn about them together. And so I say thanks be to God for VBS and for the opportunity to be reminded that God is our friend too. Amen. You can head back to your seats. And we'll continue with our centering song. So as I said, our theme for VBS is friendship with God, diving into friendship with God. So this is a sweet centering song, which is a version of You've Got a Friend in Me.
Friend in Me.
Yep. By Claire and Dad.
By Claire and Dad.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from a nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Yeah, you got a friend in me. Girl, you got a friend in me.
This is the second verse. I'm doing the second verse. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got troubles. I got them too.
Smarter than I am, bigger and stronger too. But none of them will ever love you the way I do. It's just me and you, girl.
And as the years go by,
our friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our destiny.
Please stand as you're able as we welcome the word. Listen, listen, God is calling through the word, inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and Our scripture reading today comes from the book of 1 John chapter 3. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for brothers and sisters. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and truth. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another, just as God has commanded us. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You might recall that I'm coming off a week of vacation, bookended by two Sundays of leading worship. So today is less of a sermon and more of a reflection because I used every bit of my vacation to enjoy my family and our travels and all of the fun things. But what I wanted to do today, as we count down to the start of another year of Community Unity VBS, is spend a little time reflecting on what a gift it's been to be part of that collaboration and to see it continue to grow. So thank you for sharing the numbers with me this morning, Diane. That is makes it even more exciting. I've had a fair amount of time to do reflecting this summer. A few weeks ago, 11 of us in my family piled into a 12-passenger van, and we took a little tour for my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. We drove around to all of the different places they had lived, from newlyweds until right now, and it was amazing. We stopped at each place, we took photos, we told stories, and at each place where we added family members, we added them to the photos. And it was a great time to reflect, to hear some stories that I had not heard before, and to just give thanks for their long marriage. And then this past week, almost as soon as we were done with worship on Sunday, we packed up, the kids and I packed up, and we headed to Nebraska, where we got to live for a decade before we moved back to Wisconsin. And we visited our old houses, we visited with old friends, we ate at our favorite Mexican restaurant in Beatrice, Nebraska. And it was great to remember and to give thanks and to reflect on the time that we had in Nebraska. And to top it off, it turns out that if you have a fifth-story hotel room in downtown Omaha on the 4th of July, you get a really good look at fireworks. So we got a bunch of free fireworks that night. It was pretty cool. And so this week I come back to this worshiping community and look forward to participating in Community VBS. So we're going to count down together to celebrate this partnership we share. There are now 8 churches that are part of Community Unity VBS. And what we need to remember is this was not always the case, right? When I first came here, we were still partnering with Luther Park Bible Camp for our vacation Bible school, and they would send a team of counselors, and we would have a week of learning together with Just Faith in Rock Creek. And that was great. It was its own kind of ministry. And then COVID happened, and camp closed, and churches closed, and as everything reopened, camp had to rethink some things, and they just didn't have the capacity anymore to send teams out to different congregations, and it wasn't their focus. And so we had to kind of regroup 4 years ago and say, well, what are we going to do? And Pastor Grace and I started talking and thought, what if? What if we reach out to other churches? There had been some talk about it, I think, before I came, and other congregations weren't really poised and ready to do that. But this time around, it was an adamant, yes, let's do it. And so now we've got the 3 Catholic parishes that are part of it and, of course, host us at Holy Rosary in Lima. We have Durand United Methodist Church. Community of Christ in Arkansas joined us last year for the first time and is back again this year. Lister Lutheran is joining us for the first time this year. And then Faith and Rock Creek. And I think it's important to pause and to give thanks for this partnership that didn't always exist and isn't always the case in other communities. For us to be able to lay down our denominational differences for a week and to just focus in on what we have in common, namely the love of Jesus Christ, is a really, it's a simple thing, but it's a big thing to celebrate and to take stock of and to recognize that it is a unique thing that we do together, and I give thanks for it. 7, so the kids that come, the 140 kids that come on Tuesday, will get to go around to 7 different stations to explore our theme of diving into friendship with God. And we all start out together singing music, which will be fantastic, and then we get to experience games together, outdoor games that fit with the theme. There's a prayer station where kids are just welcomed into a time of silence and reflection. And believe it or not, they love it. They're good at it when they're given the space to just be in God's presence. They get a little recess time to use the playground there and run off their energy. They get to experience crafts. One of the gifts that Lister Lutheran is bringing with them this year is a woman in their congregation makes ceramics for painting and is donating enough, I hope, for 140 kids. And so the kids will get to have a real tangible craft that they can take home with them from the week. There'll be a video where they get to learn more about the overall theme and kind of relate it to some modern day parts of the world. And then they'll get to join me for Bible study, where we'll meet the characters that we laid out during the children's message and learn about how those people had a friendship with God that can inform our friendship with God. 6 small groups will experience this. We divide them up into kind of cross-generational groups and multi-ages, which works really well. It means the oldest kids who are almost aged out of being students for VBS get to help the little ones along the way, and everyone learns together. And there are 5 themes that we'll look at this week with the help of the different Bible characters. We only have 4 days, so we have to combine 2 of them, but the themes are God is a friend who is real. God is a friend we can trust. God is a friend for everyone. God is a friend who loves. And finally, God is a friend forever. So it's been 4 years that we have been collaborating. This is our 4th year. These are photos, a couple group photos of 2 of the years. I couldn't find a photo from the very first year. I'm sure it's somewhere on my computer. But it's always just amazes me when I look at these photos and recognize how much sharing of resources happen. I feel like none of us really has a heavy lift as we prepare and as we implement the week of VBS. But amazing things happen when we share our resources and our time and the joy that we have in the Lord. So there are 3 roles that kind of unfold throughout the week. There are all the students that bring all the energy, all the curiosity, all the questions. And then we have helpers who are assigned to each of the 6 groups and go around with them and experience the learning with them and help them, take them to the bathroom, all the things that have to happen with 140 kids. And then there are 6 leaders who stay at their station for the whole time and welcome each of the groups as they come through and repeat the lesson 6 times. And it makes for a really great time. That the 4 hours that we have VBS each day flies by. We barely sit down. And there are 2 goals that draw us back to our scripture for today. Sometimes it can be really difficult for scripture to take root in us in terms of being tangible and like living it out. We can know what the words are, but to really live it out sometimes can be difficult. And so the scripture from 1 John 3:16 sounds a lot like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that we might have eternal life. And then 1 John 3:16 says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for brothers and sisters. Our time together at Community VBS, where we're laying down our denominational differences and picking up the things we have in common, allow us to do what the next part of this verse says. Let us not love just in word or speech, but in deed and in truth. There's a lot of truth, I think, that's exposed when 140 kids come together, excited about God, ready to learn, curious. And it is a deed, it is a job to bring all those kids together and to make something happen for a full week. But it puts some hands and some feet on what we profess to believe about Jesus. And so our 2 goals as we gather, as we set aside our differences, as we focus in on what we have in common, is what the end of this scripture says. This is God's commandment, that we should believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. And there's a beautiful simplicity in the midst of all the details of a week of VBS that really helps us focus in on the things we can agree on. We believe in Jesus Christ, and we love one another. And it's all because of the one God that we believe in. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. And so I give thanks that this partnership continues, and I don't take it lightly. Like, some people can say it'll be a fun week for the kids. It's kind of a morning of free daycare, right? However you want to label it. Really important things are happening in this collaboration, and it's a great message to a world that is often divided for us to come together, set aside our differences, and celebrate the love that we share in Jesus Christ. And so I give thanks, and I look forward to VBS this week, and I'll tell you more about it next Sunday. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn of the day is Have No Fear, Little Flock. This is in your green hymnal, 476, and the words are on the screen. Have no fear, little flock, have no fear, little flock, for the Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Have no fear, little flock. Have good cheer, little flock, for the Father will keep you in his love forever. Have good cheer, little flock. Praise the Lord high above, praise the Lord high above, for he stoops down to heal you, uplift and restore you. Praise the Lord high above. Thankful hearts raise to God, thankful hearts raise to God. He stays close beside you, in all things works with you. Thankful hearts raise to God. I invite you to stand as you are able as we profess our shared faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. One in the communion of saints and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in prayer. Glorious God, you befriend us in both the storms and calm of life. Let the servant church arise in our teaching, our praying, our healing, and our doing. Make all your faithful people powerful in weakness and strong in grace. Merciful God. Life-giving God, your fingers trace the heavens and your hands mold the earth. Where there is drought, bring nourishing rain. Where there is devastation from fire or flood, bring relief. Sustain the well-being of every living thing. Merciful God. God, you speak and the nations listen. Open those who govern to the cries of all who journey with no food or shelter, people fleeing violence, those seeking freedom, and those in search of community. Merciful God. Gracious God, your embrace brings wholeness to those who are troubled. Be near to those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Bring healing to those we pray for now by name. Merciful God, Welcoming God, make us ready to receive all who attend VBS this week. May those who lead, those who guide, and those who learn know of your love for them and call you friend. Merciful God. Eternal God, you gather us into your house of many dwelling places. We give you thanks for our faithful departed. Inspire us by their lives of faith until we, with them, rest forever at our journey's end. Merciful God.